Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumdy Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centered at Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the bottle of upmarket gin that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the bottle of Mother's Ruin that is
Harriet Carmichael.
And the last part of Toby's Plonk, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumdy Dum comes from Mia Fox and the Newcastle Meetup Posse up there in Geordie Land. And wasn't that lovely, Harriet?
Oh, that was incredible.
It was.
No, it's beautiful. Almost as beautiful as the, you know, the children's choir from the Middle East.
From, was it Doha, wasn't it?
Doha, yeah.
Yeah.
That was stunning.
That was.
Yeah. But that was brilliant too.
Mm. There's nothing like Geordie singing in a bar, is there?
No.
Fine. Right.
Because I'm often with Geordie singing in a bar.
Yeah. Harriet?
Yeah?
If someone would like to send in a dum-de-dum, how can they do that?
Well, if you'd like to sing us a dum-de-dum, leave us a plot prediction, or help Lillian pick the ugliest PA for Justin, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shedcode for sponsoring us, and to Derek for the loan of the back bedroom.
On this week's episode, we have calls from Auntie Jean, who has a report from the Festival of Ideas, which had a Women of the Arches event in the Bristol Talk thingy-bobbly thing. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, have you seen the picture of her with old Jill Archer?
Was she actually with Jill Archer?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if they were talking about Jill Archer or if she was actually there.
No.
Oh, that's Patricia Green.
That's Jill. Paddy is Jill, the actress that plays Jill.
Oh, is she called Paddy?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And there's a lovely picture of her and Louise Lombard on the Twitters.
Okay.
So whilst I rattle through who else has called up, why don't you go onto Twitter?
Yeah, I'm doing that now.
Do the stuff that you should have done before.
Well, right, like gosh.
Research.
Oh, for God's sake. How many hours in a day is all there, honestly?
Well, whilst you're looking on Twitter, I'll say Robert Wilson, who takes the economics of scruff gin to pieces, Lord Louise, who sees the evil in Justin's pig plans, and Louise Lombard, who takes me to task and ponders on the interior stylings of Ambridge's residence. But first, before all that, whilst I can see Harriet all over the Twitters trying to find a picture of Auntie Jean, it's Harriet's week in Ambridge.
Is that her friend?
Yeah.
Is that Jill Archer?
Don't she look quite old?
Oh my goodness.
Like
Is that honestly her?
That's her.
Wow, are they mates?
No, they just went to the talk and she was there and she said, can I have a picture taken with you? Because she was at the talk with Terry Davis.
The old lady who's drinking a
in
cup
the
of
middle.
Tea?
No, you're not looking at the right one.
Oh, because she does look. Okay, she's 95. Right. Well, no.
Okay, I'm going to send you a link.
Oh, oi, Elizabeth. I haven't seen you for ages. You missed the cricket.
Yeah, I've been so busy running a massive house and stuff, but I hear your lot did brilliantly.
Yeah, and Lily.
Yeah, I heard. You should join the women's cricket team, Susan.
Nah, not me. It's tedious. Everyone talking about cricket all the time, instead of things that really matter.
I know what you mean. If it's not David's IBR shenanigans, it's the cricket. I sort of long for Rob to come back to the village, don't you?
Elizabeth.
Oh, hi, Lily.
Mum, when is that really annoying woman going to leave our house?
She's your cousin, remember?
Oh, yeah, Pip's stopping at yours now, isn't she?
And God knows when she's going to leave. She's so annoying. I mean, she acts like she's about 45, when really she's like 20 or whatever. And all she does is just hang around with us, droning on about farming methods or mechanical implements or moaning about that total dick she went out with.
Lily.
Honestly, I wish they'd just move back in together, or better still, go and find themselves in India or whatever. I mean, she's such a whiner.
Must run in the family. Oh, look, is that
Rory. Oh, hi, love.
It's Rory. Why won't anyone call me by my real name? It's so embarrassing.
Ah, well, congratulations on the cricket, Rory.
Thanks. But I do go to a really good school, you know.
Mum, about Pip. Please get rid of her.
She could have my bedroom. I hate living on that stupid farm with loads of old people. Sonia the fruit picker has invited me home with her after the summer, so I'll probably be in Romania anyway.
Full toss, as they say in cricket.
Oh, I really enjoyed that this week. So much better than Lucy's.
Thanks, Royfield. Actually, did you notice it wasn't a roundup?
Well,
but it's my take on it. It was my take on what had happened.
Yeah.
In the last couple of episodes.
So.
And obviously, you haven't even listened to it, so you can't come back.
I did listen to it. What are you talking about? Full toss.
Oh, thanks. You did.
Of course, I listened to it.
I was massively scraping the barrel for an ending because I just couldn't think of how to end it. So I looked up cricket terms and thought that was quite funny.
Well, you've got a whole plethora. You know, in cricket, you know, there's a googly.
Yeah, I didn't mention the googly. I thought that was too obvious.
No, it is a bit obvious.
But
really,
it's because it's very funny, but it's too,
Too on the... How long does it take you to come up with an episode of Sandbridge?
Shambridge.
Yeah, Shambridge.
Someone. Well, this time, I felt it was rather easy because...
You're a bit mean. Okay, I've got a slight speech impediment. No one's mentioned it in 170 episodes, but you had to go there. Can you just answer the question and don't be mean?
Well, I did it especially for you because I thought I should contribute something to the podcast, and actually it didn't take long. It took this, usually it takes 2 or 3 hours from door to door, but this took about an hour and a half.
Do you think
I was pressed for time?
Do you think the quality of that is made apparent in how quick?
Yeah, could you tell? Could you tell that the ending kind of didn't have an ending?
No, no.
Quick, Google cricket terms. That'll do.
Stop
Full
it.
Time.
I actually thought the ending was pretty good. Now,
actually, go through.
All right, tell us how you construct these accents, these voices.
Oh, the voices.
Yeah, because you actually did a boy type person this week as well, didn't you?
Well, that's because I often have to do boys, and so the boys come easily. And I thought I forgot that Rory. I forgot he was Irish, but I couldn't have really made. He would have sounded like a woman if I'd done a kind of Irish boy. So I can only do boys if they like talk like that. And so I thought it's really, because obviously they must be bringing Rory into the show eventually. Otherwise, why would they have made a big deal about him at the cricket? Or maybe it was just fun to do that. But I just thought I can't miss that opportunity. And so I did him. And I just really think Lily is really irritating.
Oh, but she's irritatingly fantastic.
Yeah, she is actually. Yeah, she is. She is. I mean, she's not irritating in the way that Pip's irritating. And it must be genuinely annoying having Pip living with you, don't you think? And I just thought Elizabeth must be like, oh, for God's sake.
So the original question was, how do you construct voices? Okay, right. But how do you construct them? So tell me how you go, right, this is a Lily.
Well, Well, I knew she... I listened to them. So
that's a start. Yeah.
That's a good start, isn't it? I mean, I knew she was like just really posh, but actually, I can't really think of her voice unless I listen to it. But I mean, if it's just like a posh person, then it's kind of easy. And Elizabeth, I just think of Ali, who plays her, and then I have to say, Dave, Lily, and she quite often kind of, you know, does that. And back of the, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but I just listen to them. And Susan and I just have, Neo, Christopher, that kicked me. Oh, Clare. That just kind of gets me into that. But I always listen to the voices, because otherwise you think that you're doing the voice, but it's not quite the right voice. Mm. I think, so actually that's why I did Lily, because she'd been on the night before. And Susan was in it. Susan's just a kind of fail safe because I just love doing Susan. And then Elizabeth, I just really like doing her because I think my voice is quite similar to hers.
Me
when
too.
I'm doing husky. Yeah. Mm. And I love her voice. So,
but you know, I was kind of surprised there wasn't a Linda Snell in there, because she's a bit of a, you know.
But I do have to, I really have to listen to Linda. So actually,
I would have thought, not that I know anything about anything, let alone how you do voices and impersonations, but I would have thought that Linda was easy because she's so distinctive.
And she's really caricatury. But the trouble is, because I haven't heard a phrase. So, Robert. Okay, see, I can't necessarily get into her without hearing. So, Robert and I mean, I do the kind of nasal thing, Caroline. The way to get into her is to do, but actually, if I don't listen to her, then it just all hang on, then she has got a bit of a cold, so Caroline, it's all sounding a bit like that. It's just, I can't, it'll either be just all come out with that thing, or it'll just be, it's caricatury, but actually, her voice, I think, is quite hard to mimic, because it's easy to do the Robert and the Caroline, but to do the actual words is quite hard. You know, when they're speaking properly, I have to really tune into her voice. It doesn't, that doesn't come as naturally as Susan or Harry.
Right, so who is the hardest? Who have you gone, you know what?
I can't do Jill.
Can you not?
I can't. Lucy does a brilliant Jill. I can't do, I've tried to do her, and I know that some people think I have done her in the past, but I have never done her. I think when I was doing Auntie Cardboard, I think some people thought I was Jill, but it wasn't. I can't do her. But I think maybe because she is too old for me as well. And I can't do Peggy. I can't do the oldies. Mm. And I can't do Pat, because like Pat and Helen, people like that, they don't have enough distinction in their voice, I don't think. But for me to... I can't hear what they are or where they came from, or, you know, so that's just too hard. Mm. But you know, look, I was going to do Jolene like that. No, Jolene, Kenton, it's just like, you know, it's just kind of, what can I get you? It's just like, yeah, it's just kind of West Country barmaid, really, isn't it? And yeah.
I like the little shoulder shimmy you're doing.
That's
there.
Kind of an easy one. How can you see me?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot you can see me. I just undid my flies. Oh my God, I forgot
it's
I'm on
the
camera.
The camera's from the waist up.
Embarrassing. I have to do that if I'm doing a voiceover. I have to undo my flies. So I can breathe.
You know what we should do?
Yeah.
We should actually go listen to see what the great dum-de-dum plethora of caller inners have said about the last week's Ambridge action. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I think enough about me. Let's move on.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. Naked Fingers here. It's been a while, I know. Have you missed me? I've missed you. It's not Friday evening, as is my usual time for speaking at you. It's Sunday afternoon, and while my Yorkshire puddings rise in the oven, and I have a glass of red wine, I thought I'd take this opportunity to catch up with you and discuss Scruff Gin. A few problems with Scruff Gin. Problem number one. His only, Toby that is, Toby's only source of income from Scruff Gin is potentially the bull. Now let's say the bull sells 2 bottles of gin a day, which is outrageously high. That's 20 quid. He'll probably charge him 20 quid a bottle. So that's 40 quid a day for 7 days a week. Multiply that by, 365, if you count that as how long a year is, which I do generally. Not really an income. He's not making it big. Now, out of that 20 quid, he has to pay the exciseman, HMRC. In fact, he has to pay HMRC, Customs and Excise as it used to be called, before he even sells it. As soon as he's made this gin, he has to pay the duty on it. Or he has to keep it in a bonded warehouse. And he doesn't have a bonded warehouse. I don't think the caravan up at Hollertree counts as a bonded warehouse. So essentially, what I'm saying is this whole storyline is bollocks. It's been lovely speaking to you. See you next time. Bye.
Yes, Robert. Ooh, that sounded like that was my impression of Linda Snell. Yes, Robert. Robert. Naked Fingers, no one knows the economics of alcohol better than you, sir. Now,
but I think he should be a voiceover artist.
Doesn't he have the most wonderful voice?
I mean, he just sounds like a voiceover artist. Mm. So I would get him an agent if I was him. Anyway,
well,
yeah,
you know, because he does radio. He does local radio.
Oh, well, then he is a voiceover artist.
Yeah, and I think he's got the right mic. It's a bit like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Big condenser
mic. If you've got the right mic.
Scruff Gin, what do you reckon about it?
I hate the name. It's like, it kind of turns my stomach a bit. Because presumably it's named after Scruff.
Well,
the dog.
I would have thought so.
Yeah, so it just annoys me. It's just stupid. Because of, you know, Witherspoon said last week or whenever about it takes years to make gin.
Mm. And he's done it in about 3 weeks flat.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's managed to get an outlet already.
I just find those brothers so boring. But
No. I think that's harsh. I think Rex is fundamentally boring, right?
Yeah.
But actually, he's a great character.
I don't know. I don't. Yeah. I mean, they just don't float my boat. I just find them a bit. Predictable.
Okay,
don't
stop
you think?
It. Stop it. Weren't you touched by the fact that Toby ran back to Rex after he met Pip last week and said, "Oh, I'm gonna get her back. It's all in the bag, blah blah blah."
Well, to be honest with you, TBH, I haven't been listening very hard.
Holy cow, I've been so busy.
But I did catch up, so I've kind of missed some bits. I find that Toby's like, "Oh, she wants me back," clearly, isn't he? Because wasn't that one of the last things he thinks together.
Should we talk about your new kitten? Or should we continue to talk about the archers? Because I'm a bit worried about the depth of conversation we can actually have.
Honestly, don't believe anything I say because I've got a bit muddled up with it lately because I've kind of been listening and I've kind of had to alternate episodes, you know, like, because when you do catch up, sometimes it's hard to know,
all right,
you know, what you've caught up with, what you haven't.
All right, Harriet, you know, like, I've been doing this for 170 episodes now and I'm like quite good.
Yeah.
Listen to this as a segue, right? So,
okay.
What did you reckon, Harriet, to the, you know, the Hanuk, Johnny and Kirsty when they're walking through the country park and they had a laugh over Peggy's new cat, Hilda Rogdon? Can you see where I'm going with this?
Do you know what? It's funny you should say that, Roy, because you'll never guess what happened tonight. The reason I was a bit late talking to you was because we got a kitten tonight. Yeah, we've got a brand new member of the family. We picked up a kitten that our neighbour had, and it's really cute. And it was a surprise for the kids because the kitten's been with the neighbour for 8 weeks. And anyway, we brought it back tonight, and we told the kids it was a surprise. They've been so they knew there was a surprise coming today, so they've been so excited. And then when the kitten arrived, we let her kind of settle in, and then we brought the two eldest down to see the surprise, and my eldest daughter was like, "Oh wow, it's amazing," and my son was devastated. because he thought the surprise was a toy. And honestly, you've never seen anyone look so disappointed. He was gutted because it was a kitten. So it wasn't quite as magical as we thought, but it's a gorgeous kitten who is nameless.
Ooh, nameless. Mm. Now, yeah. I said to you just before we went on air, right, that we should let the great listeners of Dum Dum name your little Mog, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, because they named my baby, didn't they? Well, they didn't actually.
No, they didn't at all.
A few people had a go.
A few people had a go, did they? And you ended up pregnant. Yeah, oh dear. Your mother would be so proud.
Not for the first time. Yeah.
So are we officially allowing Dum Dum listeners to name your little Mog?
Yes. But can I...
you can't put any caveats in it now.
Well, my daughter is only six and she's already written a list. But suggestions would be great. Shall I tell you the suggestions we've got?
Go on.
Already.
All right.
Rusty, mm-hmm. which I thought was quite nice. Darth Vader, not
you
so
know
nice.
What, Rusty, that kind of brings us back last week to the rust on the... Was it the Combine? That Rex and Josh were trying to like get off, you know. Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't remember that episode.
There was some rusty old bit of farm machine which Josh wanted to put on the website.
Do you think it's got negative connotations?
No, I'm just trying to bring this back to
the fact we're talking about the archers. Just talking about myself again.
Go on.
Sorry.
Go on. So Rusty, you got Rusty.
Rusty, Darth Vader, Pike. Mm.
Well, Darth Vader was fundamentally Rob Titchener last year.
Yes.
The embodiment of evil.
I know.
All right.
Know.
Okay. Go on. Yep. What's the next one?
Granny Tessa.
Granny Tessa.
And
I don't think we've ever had any character called Tessa on the Archers that I can remember.
I know. And actually, it's quite. Dogs are usually called Tessa, aren't they? Sheepdogs. Tess, they usually call it.
I had a big turtle as a kid called Tessa after Tessa Sanderson.
That's so offensive.
What's offensive about it? I used to have this picture of Tessa Sanderson.
If I was Tessa Sanderson, I'd be. So offended.
Oh, shush. You just said everyone called Tessa's a dog. What's
it's
more
true.
Offensive?
That's true. No, it's a lovely name, Tessa.
Mm.
It is, isn't it? Because it's old-fashioned and it's pretty.
Yeah, probably Greek or something. Anyway, go on. What other names
you
got?
The only other ones are Millie. So Millie Bell might like that. Or Eliza wanted, Rosie or something. Anyway, but please do. I'll post a picture of the kitten. Because actually, she's really cute. She's got a little chocolate smudge on her nose. But I said smudge and everyone said that. I mean, that sounds like what you'd call a pet in the Archers, doesn't it? Smudge.
Mm. I love the whole meta Hilda Ogden.
Oh, that's brilliant. But you had a brilliant discussion about it last week. That Hilda Ogden thing. Didn't you?
Yeah, which reminds me. Now, a couple of people tweeted, emailed in and said I was wrong. And it wasn't Hilda Ogden that had a cat. It was Minnie Caldwell. And one of those people was you, Mr. Cosmo. And then somebody else emailed me and I've completely forgotten. In all my papers and all my research and whatever to put this show together, I just couldn't find your name. So I'm really sorry, but I know you're a lady type person. However, I can assure you all that Hilda Ogden's cat was called Rommel and Hilda Ogden's cat was a thing. She had a cat.
Called Rommel. It's so funny.
It's
isn't
the
it?
Best name. It's not such a cool name.
It's brilliant. And they should get Corey. Oh, no, actually, no, I won't say anything.
No, go on.
No, I was going to. No, because all the script writers on Dum Dum are. as if. Yeah, they're all. They've come highly through the ranks. No, I mean, I just thought usually Archer's script writers then go to Corey, don't they, or EastEnders? But I wonder, you know, I like the Corey elements in the Archers, is what I like. Just saying.
For example.
Well, when it's funny, you know, like the whole Hilda Ogden.
When you say Corey, you mean comedic, because Corey isn't the only show that has comedic elements.
No, but it does comedy well, doesn't
it?
No,
it does. It does. It does.
And it's a certain type of comedy.
But also, what Corey did do was it kind of had women, you know, being competitive against each other, didn't it? The whole kind of Elsie Tanner thing back in the day and whatever.
Strong women, though.
Yeah, strong women. Yeah. So talking about women all being a bit competitive, what do you reckon?
Why
to the,
women?
Well, I don't know what I know about that.
Do you mean Lily and Aisha?
Yeah, and Jolene doing the cricket. And Jolene just realised she was out of her depth, didn't
actually,
she?
I got really annoyed for Jolene. Because she's nice. And I just thought Lily... Also, like, if you're Lily's age, so she's 18 or something, isn't she?
Yeah.
I just think it's really rude that she... You know, you're 18. You can't be... You have to be more respectful, I think.
But she's 18. She's still learning how to be, respectful and diplomatic and just nice, you know. But she, according to Lily, you know, she's got great empathy. You know, people tell her problems and whatever, doesn't she? And the whole kind of conversation with Johnny, and Johnny was trying to chat. He needed advice how to get Amber to go to the Isle of Wight Festival. And she's like, you know, you need to do this, Johnny, and that, and blah, blah, blah. So Lily thinks that she has this great kind of empathy, but I just thought that was a great scene. You know, they're all kind of
caught. Did you?
Yeah, I liked it. I really liked it because Lily is kind of, at the moment, she's kind of coming into her own as a character. Lily Partridge has been what for the last 16 years of her life?
She's kind of treading on Alice's toes a bit. You know, like, isn't Lily...
Oh, but they make Alice up as a character as they go along there, don't they?
Well, I know. I heard what you said last week. And I kind of agree, but like, I just think she's a bit too similar to how Alice was, you know, just feisty, slightly irritating, posh girl.
No, she's much more upper class aristocrat Alice ever was.
I don't think there's much like truth to her character yet, but maybe we'll discover that. You know, like, she hasn't shown any vulnerability really, has she?
No.
She's just been quite annoying.
True that. Now, have we dealt with Scruff Gin? Because we kind of gone off Robert's call somewhat.
Sorry.
Okay, no. I'm just... So anything more you want to say? Do you like gin?
I like a gin and tonic if it's got loads of ice in it. But I'm not like... I wouldn't care what gin it was.
Really?
I don't go into a bar and go, I want that, like, you know.
You wouldn't say Hendrix. It has to be Hendrix or whatever.
No, I definitely wouldn't. I wouldn't even know.
Is there a gin that has monkeys on it?
Sipsmith is near me. And so I'd ask for that one if they said what gin. Yeah, I'm just I would support the local gin business.
Okay, what is your tipple of choice? Someone's wants to get your rat arse.
Can you guess?
And you want them to.
Can you guess? It's so obvious for like a kind of girl like me.
Well, I thought like nice middle class girlies like you all liked a bit of like the
gin. We've moved on now. Everyone has Prosecco now, don't they? It's Prosecco.
Oh, isn't that a little bit beneath stairs? Come on. It's not very classy, is it? You might have just said baby sham.
I'm not that classy.
Bit of blue nun.
I love a Prosecco. I do. No, I love a really cold Prosecco. I mean, like, every summer, at the end of the summer, I am sick to death of Prosecco. But around about now, I love a glass of Prosecco. Yeah. Or a rosé. as long as it's not bright pink. I like a salmon coloured rosé or a Prosecco an Aperol Spritz.
Well, is one refreshing drink.
Oh, they're amazing.
I tell you, I think it's really interesting how drinks kind of get marketed because before Prosecco there was Carver. But Carver doesn't have the sweet kind of taste as a Prosecco, does it? But, you know, Spaniards came in with their Carver and the Italians went, oi, we've got a better version of this called Prosecco. It's got like a dollop of sugar in it.
But it's not just that, because you can get some really dry ones. It's the bubbles, I think. I think the bubble, there's something to do with...
There's something about a Prosecco bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they more bubblier?
I think it...
Effervescent.
Yeah, and it's something to do with bubbles do get you slightly more tipply quicker, don't they?
But there's bubbles in Carver.
Yeah, but Carver's like... Yeah, I don't like Carver.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The French came in
with their bubbly drink. No one could afford it. Yeah. The Spaniard says, I know, we'll do the same drink, we'll make it cheaper, we'll call it Carver. And the Italian says, we'll make it cheaper and better, Prosecco.
Yeah, it is to do with marketing, isn't it?
It is.
People love it. The Brits love Italian stuff. Because you can have your Prosecco with, like, you know, a bit of prosciutto and a bit of ball of mozzarella.
Yeah, a bit of Parma ham. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So, and a nice bit of Formaggio.
It's nothing to do with the arches.
No, but it's a lovely digression, though.
I did write notes on the calls.
Awesome. All right, then. Yeah. I want to hear what you've got to say about Lord Louise, because she's coming next.
Hello, Lucy, Royfield, Dumpty Dummers, Dumpty Diddlers, Dumpty Dogs, and Dumpty Mogs. This is your radical American aristocrat, Lord Louise. First of all, I'm sorry that my call last week got lost in the depths of Speakpipe. I did name check Map and Lucia, which I know would have slightly amused Lucy and slightly annoyed Royfield, which is always an amusing situation to set up. On to this week's episodes. Well, I knew Justin was going to do something evil, and I don't know what your UK laws allow, but here in the US, we have taken the extreme torture of intelligent beings, particularly pigs, to hellish new lows, and intensive pig farming is the jewel in the crown of industrial systemic animal torture. I am not looking forward to Justin winning this battle, and Lillian deserves better than to be the muse of a scheming, pig-bloodthirsty industrial baron. Continuing with the Justin and Lillian misadventures, if an affair with Justin's new PA is in the works, as is so clearly the case, I demand one of the following plot twists. Either Lillian connives to get Justin a male PA, and Justin ends up having an affair with him, or Lillian has an affair with the PA, male or female. Anything more predictable than that, and I am out. On to the Lily versus Anisha plotline. It's really quite dark in spite of its comedic potential in how starkly it illustrates the pitting of women against each other due to a scarcity of tokenistic opportunities granted by an overtly sexist system. And yes, I am on my soapbox this week. Instead of really working to show the dumb dudes how good they are, they're focusing their fierce competitive spirit on each other behind a pantomime of solidarity. It is sadly true to life. Finally, on a more positive note, I continue to be in love with the Genghis Khan / Blofeldian new cat. Long may she reign. Thank you so much for all the hard work you do, making the podcast, calling in, and all that other great stuff. Rock and roll.
Now, Lord Louise talks about evil Justin's pig plans.
I don't think I did get that.
That's a surprise. That's a surprise, Harriet. Right. So,
just tell you why? I wasted a whole minute of my busy schedule this morning listening to J-Ho Lord of the Puppies talking about murder and rape. And I was like, this is really weird. I must have missed loads of Archers. And then I checked. And of course, it's nothing to do with Dumpty Dum. It's your other podcast. Have you seen that?
What?
On Speakpipe, the first thing.
Oh, yes.
J-Ho, Lord of the Puppies, basically going, murder, rape, rape, murder, blood. And I was like,
it's
wow.
The election of 1800 where Adams goes up against Thomas Jefferson.
Well,
and
quickly, I assumed it was nothing to do with the Archers, but I was flummoxed.
Right. I'm going to queue you up for Lord Louise. All right. Now, first off, if you remember, she sounds like she's speaking from an iron lung. Do you remember that? Okay, nope. Right. She had a plot prediction, and she said she wants Justin's PA to be a geezer, and she wants Lillian to have an affair with Justin's new PA. Discuss.
Well, it'd be a good idea to have a geezer PA, as long as he doesn't sound like all the other young boys in Ambridge. I can't really see Lillian because, well, I don't know. She's already had an affair with Paul, hasn't she? And I think they need to make the Justin Lillian thing a bit more interesting than that. You know,
We've got Matt in the background. Yeah, that makes it interesting.
Yeah, I think it's much more likely that she's going to go off with Matt.
But this whole thing about the PA, you know, there is something there because it's what Miranda said, you know, that's the reason why he's kind of gone off with you, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's getting a new PA and Lillian's like, keeping my eye on you, Mr. Justin.
Yeah. But then isn't it more likely that she believe, you know, eventually down the line, she gets suspicious that Justin's seeing his PA and then, you know, Matt comforts her and then blah-de-blah. And then obviously Justin hasn't been seeing his PA and then everything erupts.
Do you buy the whole Lillian and Justin thing? Are you happy that he managed to hang on to his two Arabians?
I'm more happy about that than anything else. Yeah. No, well, I thought... I did think it was a bit unlikely the way he... It seemed a bit quick, I thought, the way he immediately went, oh, actually, I'm definitely going to divorce Miranda because I love you. I thought it was a bit out of character. But no, I like Justin. I mean, he's, you know, he's, I think he's a really good character to have in the Archers.
And you think he's good for our Lillian?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, I wouldn't want to be married to him, but she does, or doesn't, actually. No, I think it's, I actually really like the storyline that she actually doesn't want to be married to him because she knows that, that'll change the relationship.
How did Rufus propose to you?
Oh, poor Rufus. He, oh, it was basically my mum, basically.
What?
Was desperate Your for a wedding.
Put
no,
him
my
up
mum
to
was
it.
Desperate for a wedding. And so he was like peer pressured into asking me because she'd had some, yeah, she needed something to do. So poor Reef had to ask me. And so he booked a weekend away in the north, in a really beautiful part of Scotland called the Summer Isles. Mm-hmm. And, but obviously I was like, oh God, yeah, of course he's going to ask me to marry him because why would we be going away all the way to Scotland? So I think there's something slightly awkward when you know, and so
did
and
you
then
know,
he was,
did you know something was going to happen?
Yeah, I knew he was going to ask me to marry him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew. And then that's what made me feel really sorry for him because he basically had to do it. Like I thought, oh, it'll be really lovely because we'll go out for dinner and get really, you know, have lots of Prosecco and then walk along a beach. It'll be really romantic. But instead, he asked me about 10 a.m., like the morning we got there, because he just wanted to get it out of the way. And I was a bit cross. So he just, and I could tell he felt really awkward because he had to go down on one knee, and I wasn't very nice.
Gracious
actually.
About it.
I wasn't gracious because I didn't realize what a big deal it is. Because it's such a silly thing, isn't it? It's so out of character when you, I mean, I think it probably could be really lovely and romantic, but if you're not a very, you know, I'm not very.
You're not a romantic person.
Well, I kind of am, but not in the reality of it. I find it all a bit orcs. I could, because he felt really uncomfortable. That made me feel really uncomfortable. I was like, yes, God, why didn't you ask me tonight? So, but we had such a lovely weekend, actually, apart from that bit. It was really nice. The Summer Isles is so beautiful. And when we went, it was really sunny, which, you know, never is really in Scotland, is it? Well, rarely is. For like three whole days. So it was like the Caribbean. It was amazing.
Scotland was like Jamaica.
Honestly, because, I mean, not that I've been to Jamaica. But
I was going to say, you obviously have not said that. You equate the two.
But it has white sand. You know, it's that far north and it has white sand. It's like Jamaica, but there were sheep on the beach. I don't know if there's sheep on the beach in Jamaica.
No, probably the odd goat, maybe.
Yeah, well, exactly. See, it's exactly the same then. And yeah, it's such a stunning place, Scotland.
I tell you what, why don't we just...
You always ask me about my personal life.
No, I don't.
You do. I always have to talk about, like, you know, I always have to be indiscreet.
No, it's not being indiscreet. The thing is, though, right?
Yeah.
People have heard you do these impressions for 3 years now. Right. And you're a bit of a woman of mystery. So it's nice just to, you know,
really
lift
not.
The veil up
oh, I know.
To a certain
I'm gonna,
degree.
I'm going to try not, as if I'm really not. But yeah, I'd like people to think I am. Yeah, I'm, yeah. Well, yeah.
Right, let's go on to our second Louise.
Hi, Lucy, Royfield and the whole Tomty Dum gang. It's Louise from Bristol, at Lulum on the Twitters. I've just listened to this week's Dom-de-dom on the way home from a hard day's work as a civil servant. I can't believe I missed that bit of vital first-time caller-inner information when I rang in the other week. I was too focused on Lucy's two-minute rule, I think. Said it was lovely to hear Lucy say we had so much in common. And you can add being school governors and a lack of singing ability to our shared Archer's vintage. This week I'm calling to pick a bone with Royfield and give Lucy some praise. Royf, I've got nothing against maps. Sorry, Lucy. But I have to take issue with last week's hard water and far-right voting map. Bristol voted 62% Remain, and our water is so hard you go through a kettle every 18 months. So that theory doesn't hold water. No apologies for the pun. Lucy, I was walking to my car, listening to Dumpty Dum with my headphones on, and snorted with laughter, very loudly, at your comment about Lillian's taste in porcelain figurines. I agree that she's better suited to a china leopard, but it got me thinking about other Ambridge residents' taste in interior decor. We've heard about Jill's writing desk, and Jenny Darling kept the middle-class end up with her Arabian kitchen. But I put money on Clary having a crinoline lady loo roll cover. An ensuite treat for any Grange Farm B&B guest. What do other Dumpty Dummers think? That's all from me. Cheers.
Now, Louise, yes, the hard water map. Stop it, will you? Right, the hard water map correlation is better with the French election results one. But it's just a little bit of fun. Now, the other thing that our Louise said, Harriet, talked about that porcelain figurine. That was a big thing with, I can see your brain trying to think now. The porcelain figurine that Miranda and...
Lily talked about.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, so then Louise went on to talk about the interior stylings of other kind of Ambridge residents. And she reckons that Clary will have a crinoline Lady Lou roll cover.
Nah, Clary's far too classy for that.
Really?
I think Clary isn't chintzy at all. Mm. I think Susan might have a chintzy loo roll cover.
No,
thing.
because Susan would have enough sensibility to think that that's a little bit, you know,
yeah,
a little
maybe,
bit now.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah, Clary, if she liked that. It, Clary would have gone on holiday to Torremolinos and just got one. And it was just a souvenir of her holiday.
my picture of Clary isn't like that. I think she's actually got quite good taste. I think she's a really intelligent, perceptive woman. And I don't think she likes flittery things like that.
But that's
really interesting, isn't it? It'd be really interesting to see what all their personal decorative taste is.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it at all. Because we listen to this radio drama and we think we have the picture of what people look like in our mind's eye, don't we? Right.
Yeah.
And then when you see the actors, invariably you go, oh, I didn't think you looked anything like that. But I'd never thought about, you know, what their homes would actually look like.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be good if, a fan of the Archers did a mock-up of inside their houses.
So you think somebody who listens to the Archers is quite good at doing illustrations that kind of like, you know, maybe
I can only draw people and cats.
you do both those very well. I'm sure you could draw a bit of an auger. I'm sure you
can. I can't do things that have straight lines. I just can't.
I reckon, right, this is my only foray into talking about this, is that Adam and Ian would have some Robert Mapplethorpe prints. Because, you know, he had those kind of like those big gay torsos and stuff like that. And he did like flowers, lilies, and then like gay men in black and white kind of doing kind of heroic kind of semi-sexual poses.
No way.
Yeah, Adam, they would.
Adam would have like really tasteful, boring... But pretty watercolours, I think. Like, nice ones.
Oh, God,
or I think they'd have, like, you know, nice watercolours of architectural buildings. They're both really...
boring
I don't think... Well, maybe they... Maybe, actually, no. Maybe you're right. Maybe you go into their house and then you see a bit of, like, it's more beefed up than what they're like inside, you know. Because they're very tasteful, genteel gentlemen, aren't they?
I just think they're just... incredibly boring, really. I love a bit of Ian, but as a couple they're incredibly undynamic. But I tell you, a more dynamic couple is Kenton and Jolene, right? And of course this week Kenton went and promised David that he'd pay him $1,500 large on that money that was owed.
About time too. I think,
but he ain't got it though, has he? And Jolene took him to task.
But where did Kenton get the money to invest in Toby's gin thing then? Where did
That's
that money come from?
Because
they didn't have any... Do you remember like a year ago they were bankrupt basically, weren't they?
Well, and that's now... the whole reason why they had to be bailed out because, you know, after the flood.
Exactly. So it's ridiculous. And of course the first thing you would do is pay your brother back instead of investing in a gin business. or whatever he's done. He hasn't invested in it, has he? He's just...
No, he
is
has.
He just paying Toby?
He's thrown Toby some cash so he can actually go in on it with him.
Right, oh, okay. But then I suppose that's Kenton's character, isn't he? He's much more dynamic.
It makes sense that Kenton would do something like that. But I just thought it was a nice insight into his relationship with Jolene, in that Jolene pulled him to task and said, you just said to your brother, we're going to pay him back a sum of money, which we can't really afford. We're a team. And you've got to talk to me about this stuff first. I know you're trying to do the right thing, but you're a prize wazzock. You know, and he went, you know what, it's fair cop gov. I am a wazzock.
I am. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's all I can say on that, really. Yeah, no, I really believe Jolene and Kenton. I think they're a really good couple.
Me too.
Because I really like both of them. I basically only really like the middle-aged characters, I think.
I'm kind of with you, but I like Johnny though.
Yeah,
you know...
Do you know what? I really like Johnny as well. I do like Johnny because he's just less. Maybe he's just less whiny than everyone else. You know, he's a really. He's got a lot of. He's a positive person, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's always a bit chipper.
He's not always chipper. He's got lots of self doubt as Johnny, but. He doesn't whine about it.
He's kind, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, he came to Ambridge and didn't think he could really be a farmer, but really wanted to get involved with and do what his father used to do. He joined the cricket team. He's very good at that. And I'll tell you like about him.
Yeah.
He's relatively confident around women. And I kind of get a bit bored of the whole, Freddie and kind of like, oh, I'm just totally incapable and I can't even look at a woman and whatever, Freddie. And blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, I didn't like this week when Johnny's going off to,
to that festival. Mm, yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
Is your name Amber?
Amber's coming along too. But me and John in the tent.
Well, says he really wanted to see Run DMC. You know, a bit of old school hip hop. I was like, you go, Johnny. Right.
Are they talking about the Isle of Wight Festival?
Yes.
And are those those bands really our headlining?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he said, Amber is a big fan. She wants to go because she's a big fan of David Guetta. You know what?
Yeah.
I'd kick her right out of the tent. What kind of terrible, bland.
Well, she wouldn't be in the tent with you, Royfield, would she? Because she's like 15.
That's a fair point.
So it'd just be weird.
Okay. That's a very fair point.
She'd be like, get me out of here.
With this old man.
She just said she likes David Guetta because she needed a way out.
If you could see anybody at a festival, who do you want to see? Off the top of your head. ABBA.
When I went, I don't do festivals. I did a couple.
You know what, though? I don't know stereotype, but you kind of look and sound like you would. I could see you in wellies, at Glastonbury.
I've never been to Glastonbury. I don't really like camping. And when I go and see a gig, I mean, I've seen Oasis, and I'd want to see like my Britpop heroes.
Mm.
But if I go to a gig, I like a small venue where I can dance, but be quite close, you know, or just, I don't really like massive,
I'm so with you. Yeah, I always think when you go to a club, or a bar, I want it to be small. Yeah, I want it to have like a totally innocuous kind of entry, like you don't even know that it's there. I want to feel like I'm in with the in crowd.
Yeah, me
exactly.
Too. Yeah.
And
I want to see the band. I don't want to I don't want to see them on a screen. I went to see, I love Dolly Parton and I went to see her at the O2, but it was so disappointing because I was watching her on a screen basically and I couldn't see. You know, I couldn't really, you know, you can see them, can't you? But yeah, they're so far away. And it made me really sad, actually. I'm such a loser. And you couldn't really dance. I hate sitting down, you know.
Well,
I basically want to be at the
front. Can you dance
to
9 to 5?
Yeah, of course you can.
Oh, my God.
One, two, five. No, I'm dancing now. Yeah, you can just pop, can't you? Yeah, of course you can. You can dance to all Dolly Parton.
I tell you, she's... Problem is with Dolly Parton. She's had way too much work. She's just...
I think... But a bit like Liz in Coronation Street, she kind of carries it off, I think. Because
Dolly
I think...
doesn't. She doesn't carry it.
No, actually, she has ruined herself. But
she
I think
has.
When she started, she looked all right.
No, of
but
it doesn't she really. Did.
But also, I think like with someone like Dolly Parton, it doesn't really matter because she's now a character. She and also she's so genuine. Like if somebody's genuine and brilliant and intelligent like she is.
I say she's genuine and with the amount of work and plastic she's like thrown at her face. She's not, is she?
But that's living in, that's being a star in America. You have to do it. I mean, everyone goes mental and it's kind of normal. I think probably like for some people it's...
You know your love of Dolly Parton?
Mm.
Is that, did you get that through Jolene? Because Jolene's a big Dolly Parton fan, isn't she?
Do you mean the song or the character?
Hey, there you go. You see what I did there? Take your pick as how you want to answer that.
Oh, the character. Sorry, should we veer back onto the Archers?
Yeah, I need to keep yanking
Sorry.
You back.
Look, I did actually write notes.
All right.
So, Auntie
okay,
Jean...
do your notes, wait a minute, do your notes talk about David and Josh and the whole kind of farrago that they went through this week? No.
No, yeah, okay. Well, I didn't really see what David's problem was, but if I was Josh, I just would have said that Eddie's covering.
Ed.
But I don't know why.
Ed.
Sorry, Ed. No, Eddie.
No, it was Eddie. Ed. It was Ed that turned up, not Eddie.
Oh, yeah, it was Ed. Okay. So I was listening really hard. but I'm always doing that. I'm always cooking. And so, you know, sometimes you have to stick your head in the fridge and you miss a bit.
Mm.
But I think, but yeah, I was like... Also, I don't understand now why Pip is being like, nah, 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 when actually she should still be feeling really guilty. I mean...
Yeah, but, but it wasn't just Pip, though, was it? You know, at the end of the day, her parents didn't check the provenance of...
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, so it wasn't completely her fault.
No.
Okay, fine. But I think Josh is just an arrogant Wally, but he did get cover, but he just... What he should have done is obviously just said, I'm paying Ed to do it today. Sorry, guys. Do you mind?
Yeah.
And then end of story.
And I suppose David's first... one of the reasons why David reacted the way that he did is because he thought that the farm was paying for it. So Josh had to say, no, it's out of my own pocket.
Yeah. But then that... I mean, I thought that was obvious because, of course, Josh wouldn't... You know, he's not that stupid. But I think David was a bit humiliated because cause actually his son is basically doing better than he is, isn't he? I quite like Josh actually. I used to really find him annoying.
But isn't he
but...
just Tom Mark 2 though? Tom
yeah,
10
he
years
is,
ago, Mark
you're
2.
Right. You're right. Mm. Yeah. But I quite like that. I think good
what?
On ya.
You're like the return of the Sausage King, but called Josh.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
All right, so just before we go through your notes, because I've got a sneaky feeling that your notes are going to be basically what we've already discussed, right? But I'm going to let you have your moment to shine.
Okay.
We need to talk about Speedwatch.
Yeah, I mean, because what you were saying last week about plot prediction is going to die, and then Lucy said, well, it was the cat that died, and that's it.
Mm.
But actually, why is it still a storyline, though? I mean, was it like for comedic value? I don't really know. I don't really understand the Speedwatch thing, actually.
Well, there is a whole load of comedic value, but also it's kind of it's character driven, isn't it? Maybe the whole thing's it's character driven, not plot. This is just a device just to get people to interact with each other and to hold the speed gun.
Oh,
that's what it
good.
Is. Because we've had really Neil. We've had Jenny say to Brian, you are going to do this next week. We say this is what we want, character-driven stuff, and it's what it is. So it's just a device for that, just for people to interact.
You should write scripts.
I'm a dyslexic. I'm a dyslexic. I can't do that.
You can still write scripts. It doesn't matter
Yeah, but no one would be able to read them because there'd be
just
Zs
do a spell
and...
check.
Yeah, but then it spell checks the wrong word, and I think it's the right word, and people say it's the wrong word, and it just goes on and on, round and round in circles. Anyway, before we go on to the ad break,
yeah,
and we have Millie Bell,
yeah,
should we just rattle through your extensive notes? You said you had 6 lines.
Okay, do you want me to tell you what they are?
Go.
So I, Witherspoon and Alison did tweets of the week, but I don't need to comment on that, even though I wrote notes, do I? Because actually, they're doing that, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. Then I had the J-Ho Lord of the Puppies. Then I had Auntie Jean. I found the Bristol Festival of Ideas really interesting. And who would you throw off a roof, Toby or Pip?
Okay. All right. I can cue you up for that then.
Okay. Jean, Jeanette, let yourself
go. Hello, Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Auntie Jean here with a small report from Bristol's Festival of Ideas, which had a Women of the Archers talk, which included the lovely Jill Archer, Paddy Green, obviously, and Uncle God Kerry, Mary Kettler, and the marvellous and wonderful Angela Barnes, our very own Angela. Paddy told lots and lots of interesting stories that I hadn't heard before, because I've never seen her speak before. I'm sure she probably has told them, and most people will know them. She was very, very funny. She told one story in particular about a certain roof incident, which I cannot repeat on the podcast because I don't think it would be fair. DM me if you want to know about that, frankly. I also managed, you'll be pleased to hear, to get at least 2 new recruits to the Dumpty Dum podcast. They have our website details, and there may have been more because Kerry gave us a shout out. We had a vote about who we would like to phone throw off the reef if it were going to happen today, and Toby won over Pip, so that shows you what our audience was thinking, exactly the same thing we were thinking about those two. Royfield, we must have Angela back on the podcast as soon as possible because she's lovely, lovely, lovely. We went for a drink after, so had a lovely time. So, you know, get in touch and have her back as soon as possible. I have to say, comment on this week's articles. I haven't had a chance to listen to them. I hope to as soon as possible. And in the meantime, a lovely hello to everybody, and I hope everybody's well, especially Yogel Bear, who hasn't been well and wasn't able to come to the Festival of Ideas. And I'll speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.
All right, and what else you got?
Angela needs to come back on the podcast.
Okay, smashing. Is that it?
Naked Fingers, is he a voiceover artist?
We've done that.
And then something in my notes that was to do with Alaska.
Right.
Mm.
Fab.
Because, and it is sort of Archers related. Do you want me to tell you?
Go on.
Because I am really interested in Alaska, and I really enjoyed you speaking about your cousin, because I did an audiobook 2 years ago with Rachel Atkins, is Vicky. And it was really, I think it's a really good book. And it's set in Alaska and it's a thriller. And I didn't know anything about Alaska. And then you're like, oh my God, there's like a whole world, a weird world. And it was about the truckers who, they do their trucking there.
Yes.
To get oil? I don't know. They take tankers.
Well, and, go on.
And anyway, it was a thriller. But it's really good, and it's called The Quality of Silence. And that's not a plug for the audiobook. It's a plug for the book.
Absolutely.
If people like kind of... No, honestly. Except that Rachel Atkins is doing the main bit. She's brilliant, obviously. But no, the book's really good. If you like kind of Gone Girl but better, it's that kind of thing. And if you like things set in Alaska, I really like things set in places that I
are unusual.
Don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Coen brothers, all their films are set somewhere a bit unusual,
yeah,
aren't they?
Exactly. And it's good because then you learn a bit about a new place.
Absolutely.
You know, you enjoy the story, but you also take in a really exciting new environment.
Mm. No, they're the absolute kings of that. Fargo is just
that
great.
Kind of
that
thing.
Encapsulating
that
world of weirdness.
Exactly.
And just,
it's just amazing, isn't it? It's got that strange atmosphere as well, like Alaska must have.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'd really like your cousin to come on the show and talk about it.
Oh, she sent me a WhatsApp yesterday, actually.
Oh, is she back? Is she still here?
No, she's back in Barrow in Alaska.
I did do an interview with her. That would be so amazing.
She's never heard of the Archers in her whole life.
Actually, it would be great if you lived somewhere like that and listened to the Archers, wouldn't it?
But it would be great, but she doesn't.
No, she should. Did you tell her she should?
No. Oh. But maybe I should have.
Yeah. But she should do a Dumpty Dum from Barra, shouldn't she?
tell you.
Or just get. Can you just do an interview with her? Because I'm really fascinated with what she's up to.
I'll tell you what. I'll think about it whilst you have an ad break. We'll come back okay. The other side, and it's Millie Bell and all of our social media goings on. And then,
brilliant.
Guess who's going to do the tweets of the week afterwards, Harriet?
With this being an Alison.
Awesome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
I mean, I was 8 years old, interesting, the same age as the Dragon King's daughter when she comes out of the sea. But what was happening to me when I was 8 years old was that I was at the hands of a paedophile in a classroom for a year. And
awesome, yeah. For me, and I think the reason that I somehow managed to win in the end is that for me, it's about an economy of the three things that bring a song together.
Catch up with me speaking to friends and interesting people every Friday afternoon on Friday 15, which you can get, of course, from a podcatcher of your choice.
Hello, I'm Lucy, and this is Walkie Talkie. I walk my dog, Basil, pretty much every day in a foresty bit of London. I have been doing so for about 4 years. And I meet people that, as a dog walker, you talk to people. If your dogs get on, you tend to just, you say, which way are you going? Can I come with you? And you just sort of amble along. And you can end up having the most extraordinary conversations. Partly because you are walking side by side and facing front, so there's no embarrassing eye contact. If things get a bit heavy, if someone starts talking about something that they find emotional or difficult, then you can always divert your attention onto the dogs and relieve the tension a little bit. We've seen, as a group of dog walkers, we've seen people get pregnant, have children. We've seen people whose dogs have become ill and died, and the owner says, oh, I can never have another one, and then in a couple of months' time they appear with a puppy and everyone's delighted to see them. And we've seen people's marriages break down, new romances start. It's a lovely way to start your morning. It never fails to give me something nice to think about, something interesting to think about, even if it's not nice. And having a dog is a sort of a universality, really. The people aren't all like me, as I hope you'll realise over the course of the series.
Leading up to the 1860 election, in walks a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln, who is the Republican candidate. The Republicans to the South represent the ending of slavery. And Lincoln, despite the fact that his sentiment was always in the beginning to preserve the Union rather than to abolish slavery, becomes the lightning rod of anti-Southern sentiment. And he ends up winning the election in 1860 with no support from the South.
The Guardian, Manchester, Tuesday, November 20th, 1860. Summary of news, foreign. The details respecting the presidential election furnished by the New York journalist, not complete, but they not only assure us of Mr. Lincoln's election, but show that the Republican Party has obtained far more than the requisite number of votes for his return. It is calculated that New York, Pennsylvania, the New England states, New Jersey, and the Northwestern states give him 171 electoral votes, or 19 more than the majority required for the election. The total number of electoral votes being 303. It is not improbable, too, that this majority may be further swelled by the result of the elections in the Pacific states of Oregon and California. We have no account of the manner in which the Southerners have received the intelligence of Mr. Lincoln's election. The next advices will no doubt be filled with fierce Southern declamations and protest, but it's not very likely that any Southern states will do anything more than talk loudly about secession.
Listen to the first show exclusively on Mixcloud today and subscribe to us on iTunes. From Washington to Obama, 10 American Presidents, the new podcast from Royfield Brown.
G'day everyone. Another busy week on Facebook. As Royfield said, we're just getting busier and busier, which is absolutely awesome. We had a link to a podcast, Alvicky from Kenya, who is moonlighting on another show. Shame on you, Vicky. If you're interested in that, please go to the Facebook page and go straight to the link. We also spent some time discussing the fact that Lillian seemed to be a bit wobbly about Justin employing a new PA, and we wondered whether Miranda had put that suspicious thought in her head with her really snidey remark. And Claire Esprit said, yep, definitely. I also wondered whether Justin was cagey about letting Lillian go back to her social secretary role because he doesn't want to create another situation where she could claim to be part of his success in any second divorce negotiations. Wow, that's really looking ahead, Claire. That's if they get married at all. Kerry Jane said, definitely Miranda did it on purpose. But Lillian needs to remember that she's not the reason they split up. Let's face it, her and Justin wasn't the first infidelity in his and Miranda's marriage. Again, another good point. And Lexi Hohensee said, sure, but if she wants their relationship to start out strong, she should do her part and chuck the China Shepherdess things in the bin instead of lying about their provenance. A constant visual reminder of a previous romance is not a healthy thing to keep around. Lexi, I absolutely agree. I thought that was very odd that she didn't just say where they'd come from and say, I didn't ask for them, isn't something that I wanted. I don't know. I thought it was very odd. We also discussed whether David was being fair to Josh. Now, I have to say, I thought that apart from not telling David that he'd organised a replacement for himself for the day, I just thought Josh was being pretty reasonable, and I'm not even a Josh fan. I thought David was just haranguing him for no reason. So asked the question, and Fiona Griffin says, not at all. Josh is a twerp, though, but a product of his upbringing. Heidi Griffith said, didn't like David's attitude last night towards Josh. It's a case of Pip can do no wrong. And if she does, it is quickly forgiven, whereas Josh can do nothing right. Andrew Horn said, okay, Josh arranged a debt, but he still needs to tell his boss out of courtesy, if nothing else. Would have saved an embarrassing conversation with Ed. He's doing nothing to earn his keep and is solely focused on his own job. I have to say that one of the things that I'm confused about is whether Josh actually does have a job on that farm for which he is paid, or is he just expected to work there because he's family? And I think that's something they might need to nut out as Josh develops his own business. Another discussion was around Toby, who's so optimistic it's slightly alarming, but at least he's back to his familiar arrogant self. And this was to do with the fact that Toby thought that he was on the way to getting Pip back. Jonathan Hartley said he's delusional and possibly a potential stalker. But Terry Gardner disagreed and said, I thought it was sweet, not a popular opinion, I'm guessing. Look, some people, Julian Parker, for example, thought he was a twonk, and other people said, look, we're so bored with him, who cares? So, yeah, some very mixed opinions on Toby. And I also wanted to bring up the issue of Lily. I thought she was really nosy the other day, and I got really cross about it, and I thought, actually, I teach that age group, and they are nosy. So, yeah, I need to stop worrying about that. So I asked other people what they thought, and Karen Cunningham said, as the episode went from Freddie to Lily, then Lily to Freddie, I kept changing my mind as to which twin I despised the most. Better say, neither of them scored very highly. And Ruth Simpson said, Lily and Freddie are two of the most irritating creatures on the planet. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Teenagers can be really irritating because it's all about them. They live on their own planet, but they do come good. So we're all going to hang in there, aren't we, peeps? Because they will become really constructive human beings, very productive very soon. And when Neil said, well, this was my last one, when Neil says they shared chili con carne, he means marital rumpy pumpy, doesn't he? Please, can he not? Anyone want to share any other euphemisms? And my favourite was batting for Darrington, gentlemen who prefer other gentlemen when sharing a bowl of chili. So until next week, hoo-hoo.
Thank you for that, Millie Bell.
Thanks, Millie Bell.
Though, Millie Bell, you did forget the Dumpty Dum Forum. There's loads of action on it last week, which is a cue to you, dear listener, a reminder to get your bum on there. We had a flurry. People vomited forth, Harriet, opinions and questions and stuff. And then not all dried up, but like we had loads of activity about a week ago, week and a half ago, and it's all kind of dried up quickly. So an absolute plug. It's a plug.
Right, to get on the forum.
Yeah, we need 3 weeks' worth of concerted forum action just to get it all properly stoked up.
How do you go on the forum?
You click on forum.
On the Dumpty Dum website?
Yeah, you go into the Dumpty Dum website and you click on where it says forum.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Did you know there's another forum for the Archers? Mustard Seed Land. Or Mustard Land. Did you know that?
What podcast is this?
No, because I was telling someone the other day, I was like, oh, you should listen to Dumpty Dum. He's really funny. He loves the Archers. I said, you must listen to Dumpty Dum. And, you know, they do, and it's all interactive and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, I just go on Mustard Land.
But that's a forum. And you were telling him about a podcast. Well, I don't understand how that's even a legitimate answer.
Sorry. He said it's really popular because actually I did know about it.
Yeah, it's been running for quite some time.
Years and years, yeah. I just wanted
to... Right, so what few participants
like the BBC
of our forum...
from my end. I'm so like other brands are available.
Let me just try and understand what you're trying to do, right? So we're struggling to get people onto our forum, but what few people we do have, you want to push them over to Mustard Land or whatever the heck it's called.
I thought maybe that's where they are, you know.
Oh, so you're telling me that's where I need to go grab them to bring them over to Dumpty Dum.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Caught up with you in the end. You know what we're going to do now, though?
Yeah. Tweets of the week.
Well done. Hey.
Is it
Tweet
of the Week?
Yes. Shut up now.
Greetings all. It's Witherspoon and Allison tweeting as @LJB1003 and @Nosilla63 respectively, stepping in for Lucy with our favorite tweets of the past week. We start with a tweet about those twin annoyances by Someday the 12th, tweeting as at I'm Vincent Murphy. Lily and Freddie make much more sense if you picture them as precocious child vampires waving goblets and dressed in restoration costume. Pip's sudden move was the subject of some amusing tweets, including this advisory from at HingeXanderL. If you've been affected by being forced to live in a massive stately home after dumping your useless boyfriend, call our helpline. My partner today, Allison, added, don't forget to take your grandmother's writing desk with you, Pip. It's expected for any move to Lower Loxley. TJ, tweeting as at Electric Heat, reflected on two titans of Ambridge commerce. I would never go into any sort of business with Kenton or Toby, or both. You can write their business acumen on a fag pack. And B.E. Hawks, tweeting as at ArchersFan2015, replied, or a stamp. And now for our tweet of the week. It's from Rachel, tweeting as at Flighty Rachel, who doesn't believe that things will work out well for Johnny. She wonders, is Amber paying for her ticket, do we think? I bet she brings her own tent and boyfriend. And that's our tweet of the week. Well, that was fun. We'll be appearing next Thursday at 8 a.m. at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. See you then.
Thank you, Witherspoon and Allison. Next week, normal service will be resumed when our loose comes back.
Yeah.
Right.
To everyone's relief.
You know what? I always think whenever we do a show together, at the start I think, oh, this is like a breath of fresh air. And then half way in, I go, bloody hell. This is a slog.
Yeah, just shut up. No one cares about your kitten.
They do. And considering we're wrapping things up.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
I think you should just mention your kitten again. Tell people how they can name it. I think they should like tweet it. Oh, hashtag
go on the forum.
Go on the forum. Or they could go onto Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
hashtag Dumpty Dum Kitten.
Dumpty Dum Kitten, that's the hashtag.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And also, if you want to listen... Oh, no, we've already listened to My Shambridge, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
In this podcast.
Do you want us to play it again?
No, it's not worth it. Anyway, it won't be relevant in 2 days or whenever this is going out. but thank you, everybody. I'm so grateful for anybody that does listen and read, and anyone that retweets and says lovely things. I'm so grateful. Thank you. I genuinely am always overwhelmed. So thank you.
Awesome. Right. Yeah. Now, let's just wrap things up.
All right.
So I'm sure you've got things to do.
Let me just check my notes. Yeah, that's it.
DumptyDum.com, folks. Go there. We got a sharp. You can buy yourself a DumptyDum t-shirt, a mug, you know what? Even a wine glass. Everything is on there, and you can plaster it with our logo if you so care to buy such a thing. You know, it's that kind of merchandise is there. So DumptyDum.com, go. It's got a shop. It's also got your DumptyDum dogs and mugs and all sorts. If you've got a dog, has ever listened to the Archers, why don't you take a picture of your dog
and
tweet it to us, and then our Cosmo will whack it up on our Dumpty Dog section. Ditto for your mugs if you've got a cat as well. Or a kitten. Get your pussy on there because it's a lovely thing to do. There's a lot of stroking the cat, wasn't there? A lot of stroking the cat, you know.
I loved it when Brian was about Blofeld.
Very good. Now,
so much fun.
What's the most important bit of the show, Harriet?
Well, I'm just looking at all these bits. I don't know what they are. I don't need to worry about those, do I?
Map of the week.
Oh, I do need to worry about it. Map of the week.
Yeah. Now, last week, folks, I didn't really go through all the maps which were submitted to me, but I've got a corker for map of the week this week. Oh, proper good one.
Have you got a picture of it?
No.
Okay.
You wouldn't understand it.
No, I... That's so sexist.
No, it's nothing to do with your gender and everything to do with your perceived lack of smarts.
I really like maps. I do. Ooh. And I am a really good map reader. I'm interested in maps. And we've actually got on our wall I can't remember what the name is, but it's a map with no roads in it. So they took the roads out.
Was it a map of Everest? Because there wouldn't be any roads there anyway.
It's just a big snowy pile.
You need to say what it's
London,
a map of.
London.
Okay.
London, yeah. But whenever people come to our house, they just think we're a cabbie's office because it's just a massive...
Really?
It looks like a cabbie's map, but it hasn't got the roads on it. Anyway, sorry, digression.
No. That's
I do like maps. Tell me about your map.
So map of the week is a corker, Harriet, and we're going to play it, right?
Wow.
Ooh, I know.
Okay. Play this great. Map. We're going to do a game. Yeah. Do it as a game.
Yeah. But this week I got a map from Lonnie on how Americans think about climate change in 6 maps. So thank you for that, Lonnie. I got a transit map. This was almost map of the week from Aurora Funny Pants, who had historical maps of the trolleybus and tram system in Kaliningrad.
Wow.
From 1990. And the thing is, actually quite beautiful, Harriet. You know, graphically, very, very beautiful. Christine Armstrong, this was also a contender as well. There are 4,037 cities in the world with a population of over 100,000 people. So what they've done on this map is put a dot for every city, and it kind of maps out the coastlines of most of the world. It's incredibly clever, very beautiful. So thank you for that, Christine. Any other week, that could well have been Map of the Week. But so many people sent me this map, which was by Samuel West, which is a flowchart.
The actor?
I doubt it's actually the actor.
Right.
Mm. Right. He first tweeted this out. And Laura Stevens was the first person that sent this to me. So you're getting the accolade of sending in Map of the Week, Laura. Though there's about another 5 people that said, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? And the answer is yes. But it's super clever. Yeah. What it is, Harriet, is a flowchart. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to play this. Right? So
brilliant.
Right. And so basically, you can determine the age of an undated world map by going through this flowchart. How should we do this? If I go Istanbul or Constantinople, then you've got to give the answer.
What is the answer?
It says Constantinople, neither or Istanbul, if you look underneath.
Do I just guess the answer?
Just say whatever you want. But then it'll just take us to the next one.
Oh, yeah. Constantinople.
Do any of these exist? Independent Canada, US territory of Alaska or Tokyo?
Yeah.
Does South Africa exist?
Yeah.
It does. Austria-Hungary.
Austria and Hungary or Austria-Hungary?
Well, it was one country. It's the Habsburgs.
So it doesn't exist anymore?
No.
No.
No, it doesn't. Does Leningrad exist?
You're playing at the wrong person.
No, all you have to say is yes or no.
Yeah?
Well, then your map...
No. Okay. No, it doesn't.
Well, then your map... Your world map was dated between 1919 and 1923.
That's because I'm so bad at geography.
But you don't have to be good at geography. You just go through a series of questions.
Oh.
Right. And you answer yes or no, because countries disappear over time.
But you should know the real names for things, shouldn't you? Like the Holy Roman Empire doesn't exist anymore.
No. Okay. And that ended, 1805? So if you see a world map and it's got the Holy Roman Empire, it's before 1805. And
that's really interesting.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So it's not a test.
No, it's not a test at all. All you've got to do is answer. Not exactly.
Oh,
you just answer these simple questions. Like, are there two Germanys?
Oh, that I see.
Germany was unified in 1990. So if there's two Germanys, it's between 1945 and 1990.
Oh, that's so good.
Isn't it just?
So if you've got a map that you don't know the date of it, you can use this.
Exactly.
But why does it say Albania and then it stops when Albania exists?
Because Albania existed. I don't know exactly where it is on this, but Albania would have been, 1912?
Oh, also because it's come from the other bits. Yeah,
exactly. So you've got to answer the
really
other questions.
Clever.
It is super clever.
Wow.
Props to the person that thought of this.
Yeah. I'm going to give this to Rufus. He loves geography. Yeah. And maps and history.
And he loves you. He loves you too. He loves his children.
he tests them on capitals because I'm so bad at capitals and countries generally.
Bolivia.
So my kids are really good at capitals.
Bolivia. Get one of them in here quickly.
They're all asleep.
Oh, you've only got little kids, haven't you?
Yeah, they're all asleep.
All right. Let's wrap this up then, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes.
All right.
No, that is such an interesting map.
Well, it's kind of a flow chart, but yeah, it pertains to maps. Oops, yeah. Daisy, I've done that in the wrong colour, Harriet Carmichael.
Do you want me to say something now?
Yeah.
To wrap it up.
I'll keep on.
We're both tired.
Yeah.
Look, we both know when this has come to an end. We both know when it's run out of steam.
Say what's in red. Go.
Okay. If you'd like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site.
Or you can go to patreon.com and give us some of your hard-earned wonga. Remember, folks, to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on our website, or you can call us on 0203-031-3105 to leave a telephonic message. On social media, you can find me where I'm at Royfield, and you can find me, Lucy, Harriet, Cosmo, Yokel
and
Bear.
Me, Lucy V. Freeman. At Lucy V. Freeman.
No. At Dumdy Dum. That's where we collectively we're all at there, Harriet. Right. And Harriet, if somebody would like to, you know, connect with you on social media, specifically Twitter, how can they do that?
I am at Shambridges or at Harriet Carr.
Or
at Lucy B. Freeman.
You've got two.
Yeah, I have actually. Well, I'm Shambridges for all Archer stuff and
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Harriet Carr is like what I do.
That's where all your serious stuff goes on.
That's where my serious stuff.
On Facebook. You can go follow us by typing in Dumdy Dum, and well, you can like it. You like on Facebook. You don't follow on Facebook, do you?
Well, you should have liked it already.
Well, but you know what? Every week there's more people that like it, more new people. So you go, they've just discovered it. It's the whole point of saying this stuff at the end, because you're always grabbing one or two new listeners.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And Yokel Bear and I, Millie Bell, are the ringmasters there, and they are the masters of the domain. And they do whatever they do over there.
And I think and it's so like nice it. That they do it.
It is.
Don't you? It's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Right, Harriet. I think we're just about done, aren't we?
Oh, I'm knackered, actually. And I've got to go and check the new kitten's still alive. Because it's been quite a long time away from it.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have a glass of rosé.
I know. Surely it should be a glass of Prosecco after your Prosecco advert all the way through the show.
I'm sponsored by Abbazia.
Good for you.
Also, you need to take the Sarah Smith thing off your picture.
I know.
Because they don't sponsor you anymore. But I think it's quite attractive, so maybe you should keep it on there. Still a good company, isn't it?
Yeah.
We
done?
Good. Oh, well, it's really nice to talk to you.
And you. It was very funny actually looking at my co-host for a change, even though you couldn't see me. Because I said my camera.
Does Lucy not?
No, we know.
I can see your lovely face there.
No, but you can't see me moving around there.
Cherubic. Does Lucy not? No. Do you not do pictures?
We don't. I think because when we started doing this, because it chews up bandwidth.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah, but your audio sounds so good. That's why I didn't say anything. That's the whole reason.
Okay.
So we've never done it, and then we just got into the habit of never doing it. Because you want all the bandwidth to go onto the audio. But our audio has been rock solid, so I just thought...
Great. I mean, I don't know anything about bandwidth, but it sounds good to me.
Listen, you nutter, it's been an absolute pleasure and a joy.
Oh, so nice to talk to you. And are you back in England for good now?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm
so
sorting
you're still
out.
Living
I'm in limbo. So, yeah I'm just sorting out my visa so I can just never, ever have to come back.
Great. So you can live under Trump.
Well,
brilliant.
I know. Yeah.
Oh.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.